Please rise for the prayer by the chaplain, the Reverend insert name.
That's just so I don't get too comfortable.
How's right now?
Gout.
I don't know that I've ever pronounced it right.
Oh, that's okay. I've encountered so many different pronunciations.
I think I had a T on it. This is the first time I've actually seen it spelled out.
Well, I'm not going to be able to make the next two Thursdays. And of course, this week you got the singing, right?
Yeah.
The following week, the big clergy day at the region at the same time. Do a massive blood work. It's free. It's wonderful. My doctor was always impressed with me.
The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and in the chamber, galleries, please rise for the prayer by the chaplain, Reverend Gout, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
In the cloud of unknowing we hear, by love God may be gotten and held, but by thought or understanding, never. Almighty God, we are often reminded that in our busyness we pray but don't take the time to listen. Help us this day and every day to seek you and your love so that we may truly hold you and be fully connected to you and your teachings. Bless us with your presence and may we learn of you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones,
Center from third. Center from 15th. Here. We have a quorum present. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 49th day.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Heard the motion. Senator from the 23rd, all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KRCG-TV and the Missouri News Horizon have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Senator from Johnson, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate will be in order. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two very special groups here today. First of all, the young people here from Johnson County that are here for American Legion State Youth and Government Day, and they are accompanied by David Mudd and Fred Niblock, if those two would stand. And the students are Bobby Gums from Warrensburg High School, Harrison Braum from Knob, Noster High School, Kenzie Ellison from Crestridge, and Tyler Metz from Chilhowee.
Will the guests please rise and the body make them feel welcome.
And Mr. President, the
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The second group, they are from my district, but also the Senator from Polk, who represents Pettis County. They are with Katy Trail Community Health, and they are here with Marie Bowen, Linda Messenger, Hollis, Hensley, Larry.
Keep the conversations down so we can hear the Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Marie Bowen, Linda Messenger, Hollis Hensley, Larry Spencer, Chris Stewart with Katy Trail Community Health. Thank you.
Would the body please welcome the guests from Senator from Johnson. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
On the order of reports of standing committees, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Please send your reports forward. Madam Secretary, please read the reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Concurrent Resolution 11, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the concurrent resolution do pass. Also, Senate Bill 322 begs leave to report that it is examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 325 begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 387 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
On the order of business of reports of standing committees, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to House bills on third reading, the formal calendar, pursuant to Rule 6, House Bill 193.
On the order of business of House bills on third reading, hearing no objection, 193, House Bill 193, Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill number 193 be brought before the body.
Heard the motion, Senator from the 2nd. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator, if you would give me... Senator from Boone, were you seeking recognition?
I'm seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over on my right, we've got Dr. Kristen Soule, who is a pediatrician at the university. She's assistant professor of clinical child health development and behavioral pediatrics at the Thompson Center in Columbia. She's also medical director at the Thompson Center for Autism. She's with University of Missouri Healthcare. She's got several residents and attendings with her. today, and the group is here today to advocate on behalf of pediatric issues, and I just want to say I've gotten to know Dr. Sewell very well, and she has done a tremendous job getting physicians, especially pediatricians, engaged in the legislative process to watch out for kids in the state of Missouri. Just done a great job, and I'd ask the body to make her feel welcome today.
Would the guests of the Senator from Boone please rise, and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 193 be read the third time and placed upon its final passage. Mr. President, what this bill is, this is the congressional redistricting map that was passed out of the Special Committee on Redistricting. This is the House version. Everyone should have received today a packet from the redistricting staff that has a picture of the map. The bill is just a listing of voting blocks, VTDs, and things. So when you actually look at the bill, it's just going to be a bunch of numbers. But when, if you want, I will reference the actual pictorial map that is there. In the packets that you should have received is also the county splits, the blown up regions where there are more detailed versions of the lines. But just to give the body some background on why we are here is obviously every 10 years we have to, we have a census, and the federal government says, this is the population of the state, and then they go through the reapportionment process, which then gives out the congressional seats to the, gives out the congressional seats to the various different states. We found out in late or mid-December that because Missouri's population didn't grow as fast as other states, that we were going to lose a congressional seat. So following our constitutional mandate, we have to then redraw the congressional lines, going representing 8 congressional seats where we currently have 9. So that meant that every single district was going to have to gain population to absorb the loss of a seat. Ranging from one seat would have to gain as much as 163,000 people down to the smallest it would have to gain roughly around 20 to 30,000 people based off the demographic shifts of where the population grew and where population lost. You guys also have a copy probably of the Senate map as well that was put out at the Senate. So there are 2 versions, but today we are discussing the House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 193. Our job is also to provide, make sure we have representation of one person, one vote in Congress. I believe that the map that is before you does that. Also, our job is to make sure that all the congressional districts are equal in population. You will see that every single one of these 8 districts is equal in population, except for the 5th district, which has one less person, and that is due to, basically couldn't divide that. We needed to have one district that had one more person to make them all equal. So our standard deviation is as close to zero as humanly possible. What also you will recognize is on top of your sheet, it does have the demographic information on the racial makeup and the voting age population of these districts. If you want to take a look at the map, I will not try to explain the map to you since you can see there, but the first district is right there, and it's blown up if you want to look back at the different pages that is there. But I believe that this map does meet our constitutional requirement to have 8 congressional districts with equal populations. I believe the map was drawn in a fair and a transparent way, and it represents a contiguous and a compactness as much as we possibly could get, while also taking into consideration the population shifts that happened across the state and the loss of a seat and finding the population that is there. The only other thing that I will probably add before I do that, because you guys have information which you can review, is the only thing that I will make clear is if you make one change to one area in this process, then it throws off the entire whole map. Because obviously if you make a change of 10 people, then you have to go and you have to change another congressional district to find those 10 people. So even the tiniest change causes a ripple effect across the whole entire map, and that is why it is such a difficult process. And I wanted to thank all those on the committee for their input, all those people that came and discussed their viewpoints at our public hearings that we had around the state. And at that point, Mr. President, I guess I will just open it up for questions or comments.
The senator from the second. has moved that House Bill 193 be read third time and finally passed. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Lawrence, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To briefly inquire of the senator from the second, the senior senator from St. Charles, Missouri. I yield, Mr. President.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just have a couple of questions for you to educate the body as to the a couple of distinctions between this map and the Senate committee map, which, and before we get to those questions, I want to commend you for the incredible amount of work that you have put into this effort. I know it's been long, tedious, frustrating, and you have tried to do the right thing for all the people of the state throughout this, and I appreciate that. I've not heard you voice any agenda other than trying to come to a fair map for everybody. So thank you for that.
You're a great American.
And I did vote against this map in committee. I supported the Senate version in committee and would anticipate if we have an opportunity to have the Senate map on the floor, I would support that map on the floor. I do have some concerns with this House version. And just for the benefit of the body, I would just like to point out some distinctions. I have two congressionals that come into my senatorial district, so I would like to talk about some differences with that, and then just sort of a general area of concern that I have that you have been conscientious in having in mind as you worked on the map that the Senate put together. But can you tell me, in the 7th and the 8th, the differences between the House and Senate versions? Okay, if you look down, the most visible difference is the county of Polk. In the House Committee Substitute, they have split the county of Polk, and they have went over and grabbed the county of Douglas and Ozark, whereas in the Senate Committee version, and I believe they do not include Dade. In the Senate Committee version, Dade is included in the 7th, all of Polk, and a portion of Webster. But it does not go over into Douglas and Ozark. Thank you. And the 8th? And in the 8th. All right. Let me get this. All right. In the 8th, basically the main big difference is going to be Jefferson County. In Jefferson County, the 8th has, I believe, 103,000 people in the 8th. In the Senate committee version, in the 8th, the line is the 3rd senatorial district line, which represents 42,008 people in the 8th from Jefferson County. I'm trying to find the Senate committee map. I believe there's some other things here as well. Bear with me, I got so much information in front of me. Just trying to find it. It's here somewhere. Well, maybe it's not. Then let's look at the numbers here. And let's see, you're talking about the 8th. The 8th. Ah, there it is. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, also in the differences is when you go over into the county of Wright, in the House map, that is in the 4th congressional, and in the Senate committee substitute, it is in the 8th. Obviously, I already mentioned Douglas and Ozark are in the 8th. A portion of Webster is in the 8th, and in the Polk, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Webster is not cut between the 7th and the 8th. There's a portion of Dallas County that grabs 490 people, and that's where the county split is in Dallas County, not in Webster.
Okay.
If you take a look up into Phelps, Texas, yeah, so Wright would be the only other one that is different.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no
Appreciate
problem.
Your inquiry.
No problem.
Mr. President,
Senator from Lawrence.
May I inquire the senator from Polk, please?
The senator from Polk. Senator from Polk, the senator from Lawrence has asked for an inquiry. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I know you've been busy this morning. I appreciate you being willing to have a conversation with me. You live in Polk County.
I do. Correct.
And obviously represent Polk County in the Missouri Senate. And up to when the new map will be adopted, Polk is a divided county by congressional district.
Correct.
Do you believe you have any sense of what your constituents would like to see happen with Polk County and the new district lines?
I don't think there's any question at home the way people feel about this issue. You know, any time, and I don't know how many counties have been in that position where your counties have been split, but unfortunately that's not always the best circumstances if you can avoid that. And for example, in Polk County, you take Bowler, which is the county seat and the main hub of the vote. That's where most everybody lives, around that county seat. So if you take that portion, that main portion of people, and you put them in the 7th, which it currently is, all the people in the outlying areas are pretty well left out to defend for themselves. There's just not enough population, not enough votes, so they're kind of left out. And unfortunately, that's been that way for many years. But there's no question, I think, my senatorial district or Polk County as a whole either needs to be one or the other. It either needs to be in the 7th as a whole, or it needs to be in the 4th. And I think the majority of my constituents would agree with that.
Well, I would assume, and this is, you know, casting no aspersions on either current or former members of Congress who represent either part of the 4th, but I would imagine with any county that's divided, the citizens feel like they're going to have more of an impact in advocating to their legislative or congressional delegate if they have the entire county and that entire block of voters in one district.
Yeah, and I think you go from one extreme to another. If you happen to be fortunate enough to be in there where the large majority is, well, okay. But if you're not, you're just in nowhere land, and you don't get much representation either way.
Have you looked at the Senate map, the Senate version of the map that was passed out of the redistricting committee in the Senate a couple of weeks ago?
Correct.
And are you aware that it had all of Polk in one county or in one congressional district?
I am.
And would you be happier with the Senate version of the map?
Yeah, there's no question that myself and I believe my constituents at home would like the Senate version as an entire county in that district.
Okay. Well, I am not going to ask what your vote on this would be, but I did want to know your preference as between the two maps. And I appreciate you being willing to discuss this and articulate your reasons for having one preference or another.
And I would be a strong advocate of trying to keep Polk County together in the Senate, as the senatorial map has it drawn.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Lawrence.
May I inquire the senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Good morning.
I appreciate that last discussion. I come from the 3rd congressional district right now. It's wholly in Jefferson County. Both maps that I've seen, you asked the senator from Polk which map is he happier with. I don't like either one of them. And the reason why is both of them split my county, the 6th biggest county in the state, up into 3 congressional districts. I'll be represented by the Boot Heel, where I live. The people in Arnold are going to be represented by Congressman Aiken, and the people in the middle of the county are going to be represented by a congressman from Miller County. I mean, that if there's one district in all of these maps that is the most detrimental, it's in Jefferson County.
Well, I appreciate what frustration you would have with that. I mean, I also
and I spent a lot of time with the senator from the 2nd. We sat down, and the job that he has is not an easy one. I was here during the last redistricting, and basically the Congress people wrote the maps. When we lose a seat, it everything's thrown out. You got to start from scratch. I understand the difficulty that he had, but when you take 20,000 people out of the biggest city in our county, Arnold, they have over 20,000 people, and you just separate them out and put them in another district, put the bottom half down in the Boot Heel and the other half over at the Lake of the Ozarks. I don't know how I can support either one of these, but I know I can't stop it.
Ideologically, sort of philosophically, let's talk about that Boot Heel district because it comes into my senatorial.
The which one?
The 8th, down in
yeah.
the Boot Heel. It seems if you look at where the voters there vote on issue questions, they're fairly consistent within the current boundaries. I would have, you know, I think one of the things that we need to work for, and I know that the chairman over here has worked very hard to help this happen.
This is no reflection on him.
Yeah, he has a daunting challenge, and he's been very conscientious in trying to meet that challenge. And certainly, nothing I say do I mean is a criticism of his efforts. But there are goals, and right, this is not his map. But there are goals that I think we need to have in mind, one of which is when you have sort of blocks around the state, demographic or whatever, that
right.
sort of share
common interests,
a common philosophy.
Yep.
I think it's good to give voice to that philosophy where possible so that our elected representatives truly are reflective and representative of those ideologies around the state of Missouri. And we are a diverse state as far as philosophy, and it's somewhat geographically.
I agree.
So where, you live in Jefferson County. How would you...
Really, the Senate district between me and the senator from the 3rd, which more reflects the Senate bill, Senator from St. Francis.
Right.
More reflective in the Senate version makes more sense than this House map does. But in both of them, they still take out a portion of Arnold, which doesn't make sense to me. 20,000 votes that have a lot more in common with the city of St. Louis than it does the Lake of the Ozarks.
Well, if you look at, and you may or may not have recall on this, and I know you're on the House floor without materials at your disposal to answer this question, but if you know off the top of your head, on issue questions, whether it's Prop B or whatever the question is, does Jefferson County and that territory typically vote consistent with the remainder of the 8th, that rural agricultural area?
I have one of those districts that is
not.
Pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-labor, which is an interesting dynamic. On the puppy mill bill, my county voted overwhelmingly 70% to approve Prop B.
Which would not be consistent with the remainder of the 8th.
Correct. The 10 years ago, the other Prop B, the conceal and carry, it voted 80% in favor of that Prop B, which would be consistent with the rest of the 8th. On issues dealing with labor, they would vote with the St. Louis region and probably a higher percentage, which would dramatically differ from the rest of that congressional district.
Thank you, Senator. So,
thank you, sir.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 3rd.
Senator from the 3rd. Senator from the 3rd. I don't see the senator from the 3rd here. Sergeant Barnes, would you please summons the senator from the 3rd? Seeing no objection, the chair would like to introduce a special guest, our former colleague and now presiding commissioner from Franklin County. You know him, you love him, John Griesheimer. Let's give him a welcome back to the Senate chamber. Senator from St. Francois County, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield. I don't know who's inquiring, but I yield to
it's
them.
It's the Senator from Lawrence. Do you still yield?
I still yield.
He does. Proceed.
Yes.
Thank you. That almost would have hurt my feelings had the answer been different.
I've had the pleasure of serving on the committee, the redistricting committee in the Senate. I voted for the map that was drafted by the Senate committee and put out. In committee, I did not vote for the House-propagated map. I have some concerns with it, and I've discussed some of those concerns with some of the members of this body, and I will not ask you how you would plan to vote on it, but I would like to get some sense, if you're willing to share it, of your preference as between the House version and the Senate version.
Okay.
And I look at the 8th, which is where you reside and where your Senate district is located,
yes.
Correct? It appears that, you know, there's a big chunk of Jefferson County being brought in to the 8th.
Yes.
And, you know, my conversation with the senator from Jefferson was sort of centered on the fact that I think it's important where we can address population and everything else to also keep in mind that where we can have demographic and ideological consistency within the district, that allows us to have a successful, meaningful representation in Congress if there can be a voice in Congress for each of those ideological constituencies. It would seem to me, and the senator from Jefferson seems to agree, if I could just paraphrase what he said earlier, that there is some ideological inconsistency, especially if you look at initiative questions that have been on the ballot between the bulk of the 8th, which is agricultural, rural territory, and Jefferson County, which is more suburban or metropolitan. And if you look at how they have voted on ballot questions,
well,
often they're at odds.
I'm very familiar with Jefferson County. I'm very familiar with the senator from Jefferson's part of it. I was born and raised there. I represent the bottom half of Jefferson County, and I would tell you that it concerns me a little. We're breaking it up, but what concerns me more than anything else, I got to preface that here, is to let the courts decide this issue. I don't like the fact that there's three people possibly representing Jefferson County. But far as the continuity, I can tell you, once you get above Herkey, the old-timers are no longer there. You've got Festus Crystal and Herkey, and then Hillsborough, DeSoto, and the western side that philosophically are very similar to Farmington, St. Genevieve, and those areas. Once you get to Imperial, the average person in Imperial's life expectancy there is about 10 years because they move out of St. Louis County. They moved in one of the new subdivisions. They are from St. Louis County primarily. Arnold is a different animal. Arnold didn't even realize they were part of Jefferson County, I think, until a few years ago, because the capital of Jefferson County is where? Hillsborough. Hillsborough, everything south, all your elected officials are from where? Southern Jefferson County, even though that's not half the population, because the people from Arnold, from the Fenton area of Jefferson County, that area in there, down to Imperial, consider themselves, if you ask them where you're from, they'll say St. Louis. If you, when I went to school at Southwest Missouri, if you ask somebody that went to Windsor or Arnold, where are you from? St. Louis. You ask somebody from Festus where they're from, I'm from Festus. I'm from DeSoto, I'm from Hillsborough, I'm from Herkey. They have a philosophical difference. They are from more of the south. So that's so kind of where the now.
If I understand the geography correctly, then the Senate map would sort of dovetail to that geographic distinction. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I don't really have a problem. I disagree with the senator from Cape, who really feels that would be an injustice. I've talked to Congresswoman Emerson. She doesn't have a problem with it. I would prefer us maybe to have, I don't care between the House and the Senate. My big objective is not to send it to the courts.
I
believe if the House can't get 109 votes to override, the reality is it will be sent to the courts, and then we don't know what's going to happen there. But I think that Jefferson, whether we stop it at Festus, below Festus where I stop, or if we go up to Herkey, once we get into Imperial and those areas, then you've lost. Which is
the House map. And Senator, I absolutely am unwilling for the courts to draw the map. I believe that it is our responsibility in the legislature to do this, and I know that we've got folks who have worked very hard to accomplish the drawing of a good map.
Now, politically, it'd be better because those people that came from St. Louis County vote more Republican, Imperial, in those areas. So if we're going to do it just for political reasons, to help Joanne Emerson, we probably ought to put Imperial in those areas in.
Well,
in reality, Herkey and the old-timers
My parents, I didn't even realize there were such things as Republicans when I went to college. I saw my first sign with an elephant when I went to Springfield, and I thought it was the ugliest donkey I've ever seen. I thought donkey meant election.
Well,
I didn't realize
that
because it was a felony to be a Republican in Jefferson County when I was growing up.
Well,
now
I,
it's only a misdemeanor, but it's starting to become a little bit more acceptable.
Senator, I don't have, as we drew the maps,
we even have
political
union
party,
Republicans
political
in Jefferson
party
County.
Wasn't one of the factors that we took in, but we where you can have representation of a big block on ideology, whether it's, you know, whatever the issues, I think that helps a member of Congress to be able to reflect the values of the people consistently.
Do you know
and
where,
I appreciate your inquiry.
Do you know
Senator.
Where
you.
The Congressman Emerson's husband lives? St. Louis. And so for her to commute from her house to his house, they have to go up through 55 dissecting Jefferson County. So I don't think it matters what part and whether it's the Senate map or the House map. I think the senators that worked on it have worked hard at it. I don't have as much disagreement. I'm okay with the Senate map as well. I'm not okay with sending it to the judges.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Cole, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator. To my left and to your right, I'd like to introduce Meredith Ziegler to the body, if she would stand up. She's a senior at Jefferson City High School. Meredith is spending 2 days at the state capitol as part of an AP English class and will write a paper on her experiences here. She has spent time with Representative Jeannie Riddle, as well as other members of House leadership, and also with our very own Senator Green. I might also add she's the daughter of Liz Ziegler. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please do not refer to senators by their name. Proceed.
Yes, sir. She's also the daughter of Liz Ziegler, General Counsel at the Ethics Commission. Please help me make Meredith feel welcome. And as a side note, I've known this young lady since she was about a year old, and we're all very proud of her here in Jefferson City.
Great. Meredith, thanks for coming to the Capitol. Let's make her feel welcome to the Senate chamber. Senator from Lawrence.
President, to inquire of the Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. I do not see him on the floor. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the Senator from Cape Girardeau.
You summon by sending a summons.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, the Senator from Lawrence would like an inquiry.
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
I am just probably about to end my conversation on the floor about this.
Sure.
I would like to ask you a couple of questions. Because I know you've been involved in a meeting on another issue, I'll just
sure.
kind of catch you up on where I am.
Okay.
I was, like you, able to serve on the Senate Redistricting Committee. I was very supportive of the map that the Senate committee drew and passed out of committee. I did not support the House version for a few reasons, which we've discussed on the floor already, and I won't rehash all of that. But I do, within my territory, have two congressionals, the 7th and the 8th.
Okay.
And we've discussed
currently.
My concerns
currently
about what...
Currently you do.
Currently, right.
Currently you do.
Yeah. Right. We've discussed on the floor already with some other colleagues my concerns about what's being done to the 7th, and I appreciate how difficult it is to redraw lines, eliminate a district, and have everybody happy. I think the Senate map did a pretty good job of accomplishing that, although it was not perfect.
Right.
The 8th, though, you are in the 8th. You represent people in the 8th. You live in the 8th. I'd like to ask a question of you, and I don't intend to talk after you and I discuss it. My intent is not to kill this bill, but rather to point out that I would really like for us as senators to have an opportunity on the floor to discuss and vote on the Senate map.
Sure.
Because I think it was a better work product.
Sure.
One of the things that I think we need to be mindful of, and I know our chairman has been in the Senate, is where we have a geographic distribution of folks that are of fairly consistent ideology. ideology, whether it's, you know, whatever issue. And I think if you look at how the people of the 8th, which is an agricultural district, vote on initiative questions and compare that to the part of the considerable part of Jefferson that's being brought into the 8th, if you look at how the voters come in on those things, and I'm not talking about partisan politics, but just nonpartisan questions like Proposition B or others,
right,
where it's just sort of a cultural mindset based on where you live, how you live, and what your community is like. At all, on many occasions, those election outcomes are at odds if you compare this part of Jefferson to the remainder of what would be the 8th district. And I think if we can achieve maps that allow each of those geographic ideological distributions of folks to have voice in Congress representing each of those ideologies, then Missouri as a state is more accurately represented. And I just wanted to find out if you, I'm not going to ask how you would vote on either map, but as far as if you'd have a preference between the House map and the Senate map, and if you think there is any inconsistency between that chunk of Jefferson and the rest of the 8th, maybe I'm off, because I don't represent
right.
that end of the 8th. I have
right.
the other end of the 8th.
Right. No, I understand fully where you're at, and I don't mind telling you, I have no intention of letting us come to a vote on the House map. And I'll do everything I can, because I think the House map is a wrong direction to go for a variety of reasons. Chief among them is the area that I represent, the 8th Congressional District. I hail from Cape County. Cape County right now is sort of the population hub. But if you pick up 18,000 in St. Jen, which is what the House map calls for, as well as 103,000 of Jefferson County, that shifts fundamentally the dynamic and population epicenter of the congressional district to such a degree that it will no longer be what it always has been. I understand this is a difficult process, and that's why I appreciate being able to work with the Senate chair on this map to have my concerns in the 8th congressional district addressed. I know that there are very legitimate and similar concerns of other senators that are out there. The senator from Saline, I think, has a very potent case for the way both the Senate and the House map are. It is a tough, tough process to lose a congressman. But I can live with the Senate map, can't live with the House map, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your response. Mr. President.
Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you. To speak briefly on the bill.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I just want to again commend our Senate Committee Chairman, the senior senator from the 2nd, for the work that he put into crafting what I think is, in almost all respects, a very good map that was put out of the Senate Committee. And my hope would be that the members of this body would have the opportunity to consider, debate, and vote on that bill before we have to consider this much less acceptable alternative that the House has put out. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I inquire the senator from the 2nd, the senior senator from St. Charles.
The senior senator, do you yield to the junior senator from St. Charles?
I always yield to the senator from the 23rd.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. Appreciate it. And also appreciate all your work on redistricting. I know it was a very difficult process and continues to be very challenging. Is putting on this lapel mic. you know, I guess my hope at the beginning of this and actually, you know, just knowing that the census data had been completed and that our responsibility was going to be drawing these maps, you know, as a representative of the people of St. Charles County and the 23rd District, was that unlike the last 20 years, the last two maps that have been drawn, was that like most of the counties across the state of Missouri, that our county would be solely represented, you know, by one congressperson. I guess that was my hope at the beginning.
And I, as you know, from listening to the county leaders and listening to you and
You know, ideally everyone wants their county not to be split, as did the leaders in St. Charles County and yourself. But when it comes down to when you have to find the equal population, you're going to have county splits. You know, I think we have 10 county splits here in this map. You know, to the senator from Jefferson's point, in the current map we're living under, there are two counties that are split three ways. In this map and in the Senate version, there's only one county that is split three ways. But then there's also, you know, several counties that are split. So I understand in St. Charles County that it would have been a preference of mine to not split the county as well. But when you have to find the population and you look at the population shifts, you know, the loss of population in St. Louis, the loss of population in St. Louis County, the massive population growth in St. Charles County, when you have to go and you have to find the people, you know, it does make, you know, splitting counties a reality.
Well, and I recognize that you can't take 114 counties and not have a split,
right,
and meet what you have to meet with the zero deviation and the contiguous counties, the other dynamics. So, you know, I, after mulling it over, you know, came to the belief that us being solely in one district, our county, really wasn't reasonable and fair. So, you know, so then it became what would be fair, understanding the shift, the growth of population that we've had in St. Charles County, the losses in other counties. And so I was accepting that we were going to have to be divided in some way. And what was what's disappointing with me and what's disappointing to me with the House map and why I find the Senate map more tolerable or acceptable is that the county isn't basically divided in half.
Yeah, I mean, in the House version that's before you, in the St. Charles County split, there's 160,000 people in the second and 200,000 in the third. Under the Senate version, there is 58,000 people in the second. So it's almost a difference of 100,000 people in the St. Charles County section between the House committee substitute and the Senate version. So basically the House version does split St. Charles County's population almost in half.
And that's the message that I would want to send, is that I understand we can't be solely in one district, but I think that should still be the goal. And as we move through this process, so, you know, having most of our county represented by one congressional district so that we have somebody who's going to be representative of our interest in the county that we have, just like others want for their counties. And so I guess I'm telling you my displeasure with the House map and my preference for the Senate map. And as we move forward, you know, that's what my focus is on.
I'm understanding the general theme that's
right.
Coming across.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Saline, for what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm well. You?
Good. And I do appreciate the work you've done. And quite frankly, I've spent the last week trying to figure out something better, and I found it very difficult. So I do appreciate the work you've done. Can you give me some idea of what the criteria of developing a district,
sure,
and
sure,
just,
yeah,
overall?
The basic criteria is you want to make sure that one person, you know, one vote is represented in Congress.
I understand that.
You want to, you know, have a map that is, you know, contiguous, so you don't have the, you know, the snake-like salamander.
Would that be similar to what happens in Jackson County?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that
the
whole salamander thing came from, it was actually gerrymander.
I know the history.
But it was a long snake-like looking thing. So you try to have maps that are as contiguous as possible, that are as compact as possible, but also at the same level of importance is making sure that they are equal in population. You know, all basically recent all the different court cases, and history has said you pretty much need to be as close to a standard deviation as zero as humanly possible, and that's what both of these districts. So those are the criteria.
There's no sense of community. There's no sense.
You take into consideration. Try to look at communities of interest. You take a look at all the different things of. People that live together, and go to church together, or should be represented together, and things of that nature. So there is a component to that that is also viewed as a piece of the puzzle.
Okay. So I have a problem with both maps, and I've talked to you about this, and I'm trying to figure out.
Do you have less of a problem with more than one, or are you just?
No, my problem is with both maps.
With both maps, okay.
Equally so. We take half of my Senate district and put it with downtown Kansas City, and I like very much the urban folks, but I'm finding a real hard time. In my counties, you can count the number of stoplights on one hand. Now, we have those blinking lights, and I tell you what, it takes a long time to get through an intersection with one of those blinking red lights because you got to stop every time the light blinks. It takes forever. We really get some traffic jams.
Do you have red light cameras on any of those?
No, I don't think we have. I don't think that's a real problem in my district. If we've got a stoplight, we think we're really uptown. And so I'm trying to figure out the community with downtown Kansas City. And basically you're taking four of my rural counties, and I'm not aiming at this at you, I'm just pointing out that there's going to be four rural counties that will be part of urban Kansas City. They will represent less than 10% of that congressional district. And I'm wondering how their representation will move. How they will be represented?
Well, I can't make any comments on who the representative will be in Congress.
No, I'm not.
Because those things will change.
Three senators standing. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would ask unanimous consent for an introduction.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
I understand the important debate on redistricting, and the senior senator from St. Charles just comment, you can't mess with my map. To mess it up, so whatever you want to do is fine with me. But I respect the other senator. I've begun to know this gentleman some years ago when we traveled together in the Southern Legislative Conference. We have the majority leader of the state of Tennessee, Mark Norris, with us today. He's filed the bills for redistricting of Tennessee, so he's in the same debate and going back home today and do pick up redistricting for his party, the Republican Party. Colleen Kosanoff is also with the Southern Legislative Conference. I'd ask the Senate to welcome them to our body, particularly the Majority Leader of Tennessee.
Let's give them a warm Missouri welcome. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. You grace us with your presence. Senator from Saline, proceed.
Interesting.
So I think we were talking about...
This has
absolutely nothing to do with personalities or
sure,
anything down the line. I'm just talking about it basically. In the last discussion, there was talking about commonality of issues. And if you want to look, Prop B is the one that's fresh and very, very similar. In my district, Prop B failed in many cases 85-15. In downtown Kansas City, it probably was just the opposite. So the concern is that whether mixing very rural with very urban accomplishes the goal of that community and not splitting ideologies. And it has nothing to do with R&D. Quite frankly, these four counties I'm talking about, none of them voted for me my first election. Now, they wised up and gave me 65% the second time around. But, you know, I mean, it's not an RD issue. It's not even urban rural. It's just a commonality of like ideology. And so that's where I have my my concerns. And again, I do appreciate the really difficult job you've had. And so I think maybe what I might do is try to see if there is some commonality with some of the folks that I will be in the same congressional district with, and maybe we can build some community here on the floor over the next couple of days and make me feel more comfortable with where we're heading. So, Senator, thank you very much.
No problem, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire the senator from the 9th?
Senator from the 9th. Senator from the 9th does not appear to be on the Senate floor. Would Sergeant of Arms please summons the Senator from the 9th? Senator from the 9th, do you yield to an inquiry to the senator from Saline County?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I under Senate rules, you don't get a chance to turn around, but...
I know. That's unfortunate.
I need a chance to get to know you a little better. I had a really good relationship with the past senator from the 9th. Mm-hmm. We were relatively close in generations, and she had that school teacher look. You know, I mean, when people in the now be careful, because the senator, the president will be rapping you down here in a minute. But and it didn't matter which party, you know, when people got out of control, she and I had a lot in common, and she had that school teacher look that she'd put on folks from either party, and when they got out of line. So I haven't had a chance to get to know you yet, and I thought today would be a good chance to do that.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator. She did have that school teacher look and would not hesitate at times to shake that school teacher finger if she didn't like what you were saying as well. But no, the previous senator from the 9th is awesome.
Yes. Oh, she was down the hall from me. Our offices were just down the hall, and I truly enjoyed serving with her, and I haven't had an opportunity to hook back up with her since she resigned from the Senate. We're very pleased to have you here, but
thank you.
I will tell you that I'm going to miss the senator from the 9th. As you know, on both of these maps, you and I wind up in the same congressional district.
Right, that'll be interesting.
Well, I think that's kind of what I thought, so I thought maybe we ought to explore a little bit of that. Did you happen to, and I don't remember who sponsored the House bill last year on urban agriculture. Were you involved in that?
No, I supported it, but it was Representative Holzman who sponsored the urban ag bill.
Well, I that came to the Ag Committee, and we don't get a lot of urban issues in the Ag Committee. So, you know, I remember that quite well. I have a very rural agricultural district, and so I thought maybe we might compare what your district with mine as far as ag output. Jackson County, and I don't, that's probably not a lot of your district though, but
no,
had,
certainly.
Had $32 million worth of agricultural production.
Mm-hmm.
Saline County had $178.4 million.
I would expect that that would be true, easily.
Lafayette County had $120 million okay. worth of ag output in comparison to the 32.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, we are definitely a little difference in what our cultural
Absolutely.
Backgrounds are. I was kind of wondering, do you remember that bill? I think you said you might have been a co-sponsor of the urban agricultural bill.
I can't remember if I was a co-sponsor. I believe I was, but I certainly supported it
very okay.
easily.
Well, as I remember, we were going to build a 10-story building
mm-hmm.
and have levels of production on mm-hmm. each level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do in my district is we produce a lot of pig manure.
I'm sorry, a lot of?
Pig manure.
Oh, okay, pig manure.
Hog manure.
Okay.
I could get more graphic, but that gets the idea.
Well,
and what I suggested was that we could haul the Secretary of Senate's going to get you in trouble. You better be careful.
I'm trying to figure this thing out, Senator. You know, this is new for me. It's really interesting that I have to listen really closely, of course, because I can't see your mouth talking. So bear with me.
No problem. I just threw my microphone away, so I'm not much better. So I thought maybe the way we might increase your agricultural production is that we pipe this hog manure and then we could pump it to the top of the 10-story building and let it filter down through and then increase your production coming from that new building.
That might be an option. I mean, I'm sure Representative Holzman very well may be in support of the hog manure that you have in your area, shipping that into the city.
Well, I will tell you there may be a little odor that comes with it, but the food is really good.
Really?
You know, you just really can't beat the product. I mean, there's no better fertilizer than that. So,
mm-hmm.
One other question I thought you might have that I might have is, do you know how many stoplights you have in your district?
You know, I don't. A whole lot.
You know,
probably a lot more than you have in yours.
You can count on one hand the number of stoplights in Lafayette County.
Mm-hmm. And how many would you have in your county?
In Lafayette County, I think maybe there's five.
Five? Oh, wow. I probably got five in a five-block area, almost.
I would suspect you might be
at
right.
At least 10-block area.
So you have an issue with red light cameras?
You know what? I certainly see the benefit.
No, I mean, let's just say red light cameras are involved in your district. We have a hard time finding cameras in our district. I mean, you know, it's certainly we can't find the red lights to put them on. And one of the things I've really had problems with, maybe you could help me with this,
okay,
is that we have these blinking red lights. Now, I'm not counting those in the five stoplights. We have one or two blinking lights.
Mm-hmm.
But we find that really difficult to get all the way through the intersection because you got to stop every time the red light comes on. And you just sit there and you just start, stop.
Well, see, that's always been interesting to me in rural areas that you would have blinking red lights, which uses electricity, when in the city, of course, you just put a stop sign there and it serves the same purpose.
Well, I was interrupted by one of our colleagues here, but I missed what you said. But
three senators standing. Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Visiting the Senate today from the 1st District and down in the South County area of St. Louis County are three doctors that are here. On my left and your right, Mr. President, we have Dr. Emily George, Dr. Sandra McKay, and Dr. Madeline Ellis. And they're here in the Capitol today to advocate for pediatric health care issues. And they're taking care of our children down in the eastern part of the state, and I would hope that the body would make these doctors and all the doctors that are visiting in the white coats today, Mr. President, welcome.
That's great. Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the First. Thanks for coming. Senator from Saline, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I understand that you're busy doing other things, and rather than deter you from that, I will be glad to inquire of another senator, but I do appreciate your input, and
Thank you.
I think we'll be talking a lot more, so I will let you escape today.
Thank you,
And
Senator.
If you're very, very quickly, you can get out before I inquire of the next senator.
Thank you. I will do just that. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from Saline.
I would like to inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone. Senator from Boone. Senator from Saline would like to inquire of you.
Mr. President.
He yields. Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator. Sorry about that. I was engrossed in conversation with the floor leader.
Well, you know, he's a very engrossing guy.
He is. That's engrossing, not gross. That's, I got that.
Or gross. I'm not sure exactly how I would put that, but that's the way it goes. You know, I noticed that we have a county, you have a county, and I have a county, two counties surrounding that, and have had a lot of relationship with one of your counties. And I noticed that the house map splits that sucker right in two.
Yeah, it
does.
Can
you explain that to me?
It does, and I've heard a lot from my constituents in Randolph County, and they think the world of you up in Randolph County, and I'm sure you probably heard from them as well. And they're very concerned. Excuse me, Senator. They're very concerned about the county being split in half, and basically the difficulties that presents. And having a county that's moving forward, and Randolph County's been very progressive in economic development lately. Got the MAMTEC project in Moberly and some other things, and between the county government and the city government in Moberly, they've really been doing a fantastic job in the way of economic development, leveraging all the resources they can. And I think they've got a real concern that if there's a split right through the middle of the county in the congressional district, that's frankly going to hamper some of their ability to coordinate some of these projects, and I think that's a very valid concern, and I'm sure you've heard that concern from them as well.
I have, and I was really surprised. I expected your county to shift in congressional districts, but when I saw this map in particular, I was shocked that they had split. And does that go right through downtown Moberly? Do you know where that split is?
I don't know. I mean, if you look at it. Excuse me, geographically, it goes right through the middle of the county. I haven't seen a detailed enough map yet to know exactly where that falls in relation to the city limits themselves. Now, I'm assuming it would not split the city because I think that would be a very difficult proposition. But again, when you're talking about economic development and you've got the county and the city of Moberly working very well together, it creates difficulties for them in longer-term planning and putting some of these projects together.
You know, economic development is a real problem with a lot of our rural counties, and I totally agree with what you're saying. That group is you've got a forward-looking county there, and I have really enjoyed working with them over the last couple of years. Even though I haven't been their senator, I have worked with them considerably.
You were previously their senator by default, I think they considered. So
I think that's what they
You were up there quite a bit. You visited them quite a bit, even though it wasn't in your district. And because of the commonalities that your district had with them being geographically right next door, I know they really appreciated all the work that you did, and including them in some of the things you were doing in your county and some other things at a time that they felt that maybe they weren't getting a lot of attention in Jeff City.
And, you know, that's interesting, and actually it is exactly what I'm talking about here, is that they had a very urban senator, and they were a very rural county, and so they wound up coming to another rural senator to with their problems because they weren't getting a lot of attention from their senator from the urban area. And that's my concern here, is that I've got four very rural counties being put in with the good people from urban Kansas City. And just as the folks in Randolph County were having problems getting representation and getting their issues heard. I'm concerned that that's what's going to happen with my my constituents. And this is, and it's not just a few of my constituents. This is half, over half of my Senate district.
Right.
And as I said before, these are not folks that voted for me in my first election run, but they are very good, high quality people, and that, and they are extremely concerned that their voice is going to be lost. And so.
And I understand that. Just as in Randolph, you know, they're very concerned that that it's going to hamper their efforts at economic development and coordination on a whole host of issues, because they're basically split. And you know, I understand the committee had a very hard job to do, and there's, you know, there's always going to be some controversy in what district you end up in, but especially for me on this issue with Randolph County, the county being split really does seem to present a fair amount of challenge that they're going to have to overcome.
Well, I understand that, and I also know that I'm going to have a whole lot more help on this map than I am on the next map, and I'm fully aware of that. So, but I think what the Senator the Second needs to hear today is that this map doesn't have a chance to go through this body. I think there's enough senators that are that have a better solution, and that this one probably, and I think that's what we're out here for today, is to give him that message that this one has a problem, and it's not, it's a problem from a number of us, not just one. So
yes.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
We appreciate that a lot. Mr. President.
Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire the Senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, the 22nd? Senator from the 22nd is not here right now. Sergeant of Arms, would you care to summons him? Senator from Jefferson. Senator from Saline, it looks like someone might want to introduce some guests. Would that?
You can inquire. You can see if that's the.
Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
I ask for unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
See no objection. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Here with us today in the upper gallery are students and parents from Barrett's Elementary in Manchester in my district. And actually, the center from the 24th and I, our districts overlap for this area. And with us are the teachers Pam Bogosian, Dory Cannon, Kelly Winkleman are their teachers. And with us as pages here up front, Joey Schumann, Grace Craig, Ben Shin, Natalie Crocker, Mason Epperly, and Ashlyn Southard, if they could be made pages without compensation today, and have the Senate make my constituents and the Senator from the 24th constituents feel welcome as they join us today.
Those pages will be made honorary pages for the day to serve without compensation. And with the students, the guests of the Senator from the 24th and the 15th, please stand. Would they please stand? And let's welcome them to the Missouri State Senate. Seeing no objection, the chair would also like to introduce two very special guests. To my left and your right is Kaylin Baker from Belton, if she would stand. And she has a special girl all the way from Hamburg, Germany, that's having a youth exchange. Her name is Hilke Fambrilly. She's a foreign student from Hamburg, Germany. And they're accompanied by Kirsten Baker over here, also from Belton. So let's give them a warm welcome. Senator from the 22nd, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Morning, Senator.
Hi, Senator.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
So what are your thoughts on the House map?
I have a lot of thoughts on the House map. I have a lot of thoughts on both of them, but my county will be the only county that will be split in three different congressional districts. And currently, as you know, as the chair of transportation, my county's in what's called the East-West Gateway Metropolitan Planning Organization. And the reason they're in there is because they're part of the St. Louis region. And both of these maps have two of the congressional people representing the Boot Heel and Miller County, and kind of rural mid-Missouri, and we're going to be in those two districts. And I also looked, and I understand why you don't like either district equally. I have a preference between the two, but I don't like either one. Yours looks like in both the House and Senate, it's the exact same scenario
for you.
That
is, and right, and you know, I do have a tremendous amount of concern about that, but I was kind of interested in what your impression. You know, really, what I think this says is that Jefferson County is the most influential county in the state, and it takes three congressional folks.
Maybe
to
they're saying
that.
It's such a challenge; it's going to take three people. I can't repeat that.
So, what do you have? Do you have a preferred solution?
Well, actually, I was just looking at the senator from the excuse me for a second. From the 5th, she put out a map that I think makes more sense to our region than either of the other two. But, you know, I spent a lot of time, like I said earlier, with the senator from the 2nd. We spent a couple hours. When you lose a congressional seat, it's obviously a big challenge. And when you lose population in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, but you gain a whole lot in Jefferson and St. Charles, and you really can't do anything with the Southwest Missouri seat because they grew so much. All the population is kind of converging on St. Charles and Jefferson County. So I understand the predicament that he's in, but when you take just one little section of Arnold out and throw it into another district, that's concerning to me. And to the senator from Cape Girardeau, what you're basically doing on this map is you're taking the population center of Cape Girardeau, 75,000 people, I think, what it has, and now giving that to Jefferson County, and we're going to have 100-something thousand people. So, I mean, you could argue that somebody from the southern part of Jefferson County will be the next congressional person from the 8th. And they're going to spend a lot more time in the St. Louis metropolitan region than they are down in the Boot Heel. I mean, they just are. That's the reality of it. And until that happens, I'm going to have representation from the Boot Heel, which we don't have a whole lot in common with. The House map is, to me, a lot worse than the Senate map. The Senate map basically takes the current district line between me and the senator from the 3rd, and then moves that down to the 8th congressional district. I would agree with him. There's a lot more in common with the people from DeSoto and southern Jefferson County to the people of the Boot Heel than there are from the people in the mid part of Jefferson County, Arnold, Imperial, Herculaneum, Peavely, than to the people in the Boot Heel. I don't know. I was here 10 years ago, and it was nice because we got to see all the congressional men and women. They come every 10 years, for those up here that don't know. We don't see them for 10 years, and then congressional redistricting happens, and then they all start calling us.
I've had several of these conversations.
That wasn't a challenge 10 years ago because we didn't lose a seat. It came between former Congressman Gebhardt and Congressman Clay. They were arguing about their lines. After they figured it out, it all fell into place and we just approved it. This is a completely different dynamic. We're trying to pick up population for congressional seats while we lose a seat. And it's a tough job from the senator from the 2nd. I wholeheartedly agree, but for my county to be the only county in the state now that has three congressmen and women is a hard pill for me to swallow.
Senator, I think it's an honor. I mean, it takes three of them to represent your county.
I don't know how a congressman in Miller County, how much they're going to care about the city of Haney Springs.
And can you tell me how the congressman
equally
from,
for you
Congressman from Kansas City is going to worry about the folks in Nelson.
I don't know that they would.
I kind of think I have half of my Senate district that's going to fall into that category. And that's nothing against the congressman at all.
You want a district that's representative of the people that live in that area. And when you take Saline County and move it into the city of Kansas City, that the representation that you feel, and I think validly, that you feel you are not going to get, I think is going to be a reality.
Well, it would be hard for him to justify, I think, driving 2 hours, hour and a half, to come visit less than 10% of his district.
He can lose that district by 90% and still win that seat.
Yeah, it's not a problem. And I don't even care if my district is split among three districts. Or two. That they all have to be together. All that, I mean, it would be nice because they're very, you know, the agriculture is common, there's a lot of connections between them. But at least put us in a rural district and not an urban district.
You've got a valid argument. To the senator from the 15th, he makes fun of me all the time when I have school groups up. One time 2 years ago, I introduced four different school groups in the same week as my alma mater. And I wasn't kidding. I just moved a lot throughout Jefferson County. The senator from St. Francis was talking about how he knows this area well. He grew up real close to where I live now in Festus. I live in Crystal City. But what he doesn't have is I lived in Arnold. I lived in Festus. I lived in Crystal City. I lived in Barnhart. And I lived in DeSoto, which are all different areas of the county. There are drastically different mentalities of people in those different areas. And this house map does not reflect those mentalities of the people in those areas. If somebody from Jefferson County is going to win this 8th congressional district, it would be somebody in the house map. So selfishly, I should think, you know, this ought to be the map I support. Because you're going to gain 100,000+ people into that 8th congressional district. It just shifted the geography of that district to Jefferson County. But I don't like the fact that we have to work through three different congressmen and women. It's hard enough getting one of them to answer our calls outside of every 10 years.
I actually have three congressmen in my senatorial district now.
Well, you've got an enormous senatorial district.
And it is interesting. And what you find is that you get a relationship with one. But I tell you what, they're much more territorial than what we are in our district. I don't mind helping someone in somebody else's district. And if that's what they're most comfortable
with. That used to be more of an issue up here when I first got here.
But, I think that we all have respect for each other. I'd never do that without letting the senator know, but I think that there's some times that there's relationships that are built up and it's natural to use them and we're elected to a district, but we really represent the whole state, and I think that it's important that, you know, when we have constituents, whether it's your constituent or my constituent, we have a way to help it. I think we ought to be doing that. But I do find that the congressional folks are a whole lot more territorial, especially
this is huge for them. They were territorial 10 years ago over moving a couple blocks or down the road. Now they're moving counties, multiple counties, and one of them is not going to be here after this map's adopted.
You know, you're right. But I think that our goal should be to get the best representation for the citizens of Missouri. And it would be a whole lot easier if we didn't have incumbents and if we didn't have, but I'm not sure that isn't the way we ought to be looking at these congressional maps and then let that let the election process work out the rest of it.
Well, I'd like us to, in my county in particular, to be reflective of what we are with the Midwest Planning Organization. I mean, now, at least before, we had a congressperson that had some influence over the region. And when we had projects that had to go through East-West Gateway, we had some assistance from our congressperson. Under these maps, none of the congresspeople other than Congressman Aiken, who has a good portion of it, are going to have influence over the region. And that's concerning to me.
Well, it is difficult to figure out how this is going to work out. And you know, the tragedy is losing. And I know there's not going to be a happy person anywhere, probably. But I do think that we need to do the best we can. And again, I'm not as concerned about who's representing me as I am about, and even if we had to sort the counties up, my district doesn't have to remain in the same district.
You'll be represented by one Democratic congressman. I'll be represented by three Republican congressmen and women.
Maybe you're a lot more trouble than I am. Maybe that's the only way to keep you under control.
It looks like the seat they're getting away with is my congressman.
Thank you, Senator. Unless there's something else you'd like to contribute to the process.
I'm here if you need to talk some more.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Saline.
To inquire the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th is not here. Sergeant of Arms, would you please summons the Senator from the 10th? We're waiting on the Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th, the Senator from Saline would like an inquiry. Would you yield?
I do, or will.
She will. Proceed.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Am I interrupting something that's really serious?
I was just getting a coffee refill.
Well, I'm glad that you got that, and now then we'd be set to talk for a little while. What I was trying to do here is that we're going to be in the same congressional district, and I thought maybe it'd be an opportunity to build some communities, to build some likeness between our districts. And
absolutely.
I thought maybe
just 1 second, Senator. Mr. President, I'm
Senator
having a little trouble
hearing. The senators are having trouble hearing each other. Can we please turn the volume down on both the Senate chamber floor and also in the upper gallery? Please be quiet.
Thank you, Mr.
Proceed.
President. Thank you, Senator.
Sounds like I don't have to talk to you very long here right now. we'll pick this up tomorrow, but I do want to have a chance to discuss the commonality of our two districts and see if we can find any of that. I've checked in with the on the number of red lights that I have in my district versus yours, and
sure.
I don't find much there. I thought maybe you might let me know kind of what your district looks like.
What my district looks like? Well, my district is, I have an interesting shaped district. I've talked about that quite a bit. It's an interesting place. I think our districts actually probably, Senator, while we have some differences, I mean, I've talked to you about how when I'm driving to the Capitol every day or every week, I obviously things change dramatically from the middle of the city to the suburbs to the rural areas. But I think a lot of times folks really just want someone who's going to go to Washington, D.C. and represent their interests. And I know that it seems tough, but I think it's something that's doable. I mean, I
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't disagree. But when 90% of the district is urban,
sure,
and we're not adding those suburbs. The suburbs basically taken out of these two districts.
Yeah, there's one sliver of the suburb that is taken out.
That just the connectivity is all that's there, and you're basically talking about a very rural district versus a very urban area. And I think the Senator Clay wants me to inquire of her, and so I'm sorry I bothered you. We will talk tomorrow.
I promise. Sounds good, Senator. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire of the Senator from Clay?
Senator from Clay, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Hi, Senator.
Hi there, Senator.
How you doing?
Well, I'd be doing a whole lot better if our mutual county that we represent hadn't been split in so many different pieces by the House map.
Have you heard from Clay County on this?
I have heard from some Clay County residents, and Senator, you and I both represent portions of Clay County in the Missouri Senate, and honestly, the way that our district lines are drawn, it's relatively easy for us to tell our constituents, well, are you in the Senator from Saline's district or the Senator from Clay's district? But as I've been looking at the House map, Senator, I know you and I share a common goal in that we want to make the people's ability to communicate with their elected officials as easy as possible. And the thing that really concerns me the most about what is happening to Clay County here is that when I look at the House map, I can't really find the rhyme or reason to how I would explain to somebody whether they're in the 5th district or in the 6th district. I can't say, well, if you're in Gladstone in North Kansas City, you're in the 5th. If you're anywhere else, you're in the 6th. That would be easy. I can't even say on the House map that, well, if you're in these precincts, you're in the 5th. Or if you're in these precincts, you're in the 6th. Because the House map doesn't even follow precinct lines. And then I can't even look at a natural boundary. For example, I can't say, well, if you live on the east side of 169 Highway, you're in the 5th. If you live on the west side of 169 Highway, you're in the 6th. That would be easy. But that's not what the House map does. So we have these kind of strange lines that I don't know where they go. And Senator, up in your portion of Clay County, I really don't. I mean, I drive all over northeast Clay County, and I don't even know the road that the House map followed.
You know, Senator, when you look at our districts, there is some rationale in that. I mean, I represent a very rural part of Clay County. And you can look at Prop B. And I did go to Prop B, and my portion of the district voted very much against. I think you have one precinct that voted 55% against, but most of your precincts voted 70%. Let's say 60, above 55.
Correct. It was almost 2-1 overall.
Right. But if you look at my portion of Clay County,
correct,
it was just the opposite.
Yes.
And there were four precincts that we share that I wasn't able to divide those. And when I look at my portion of Clay County and their vote on Prop B, I think there was 46% against. But I suspect that if we split those four precincts that we share, that I would be, I mean, if my share would have been against Prop B and your share would have been very favorably for. Now, I think,
probably,
like I said, I think there was one precinct in yours that was 55% against, but that was the only one.
It was
that,
probably Smithville.
But what I'm saying is that there's some rationale between the split in your district and my district.
Correct.
When you look at what the House map does to Clay County, I can understand the southwest portion of Clay County. That's very urban. That's part of North Kansas City. I don't have problem. But to go up there and pick that little corner out of the northeast corner makes absolutely no sense.
Well, and Senator, I would even go a step further and say that the House map, even in the portion where that they took off the southern portion. And I would agree with you. At least I can say, look, in North Kansas City, in Gladstone, I can say that there is more commonality of interest
with some parts of Jackson County than there would be, for example, with some other areas. I don't know, maybe Clinton County or something like that. But the problem that I have with the House map is that they split a little bitty precinct, Shoto 8, which is basically Clay Como, two ways. Little bitty Fishing River 3, hardly any people there, and yet it's split two ways. Fishing River 5, once again, hardly anybody there. It's split. It's like, what? How could 36 people make a difference? Why do they have to do that with our precinct lines? Then you go into the Kansas City portion of the district, and we have 1, 2, 3 rather large precincts that are divided two ways. And I don't know how to explain that to the people that I represent. The same thing in Liberty. There's two different precincts in Liberty that they split those precincts. And once again, I don't know how I'm supposed to go to the people of Liberty and explain that, well, if you're in Liberty 13th, you might be in the 5th district or you might be in the 6th district. And
how did you like to be a county clerk and have to pass out ballots?
Well, actually, in our county, as you know, because we've struggled with members on the election board,
we've
just gotten that kind of down to the point that our election board and our election commission is no longer on the front page of the newspapers because we're really working well. Well, now we're talking about splitting precincts, and you're absolutely correct. I don't know how our election board is supposed to figure out exactly who goes where. And it's funny you should mention that. I just remembered when they made a mistake some number of years ago with the mayoral election in Smithville. People were allowed to vote who shouldn't have been allowed to vote because they weren't in the city limits, and people didn't get to vote that should have been allowed to vote, and they had that election wound up in court.
I just don't know how in the world that any election authority is going to be able to figure out, as you said, 36 people at what, Fishing River 2, 3,
right,
whatever. I mean, you're going to have neighbors and that on next door neighbors that are in different congressional districts, and unless you have, I mean, I don't know how you designate that, how you get the right ballot to the right person.
Well, one of my biggest problems is just as you said, I don't really know. And then the other concern that I have is our county that we mutually represent looks almost like a jigsaw puzzle piece. And it all goes back to the fairness of an individual to be able to appropriately access their government official. And the way this is drawn with split precincts, not following city limit boundaries, and I need to explain that a little bit because I realize in the more rural parts, there's area for expansion of cities into the rural part of the county. But in Gladstone and North Kansas City,
they're locked.
They're landlocked.
Yeah.
So the city limits lines are the city limit lines. So I can't go back to the more suburban, urban portion of my district and say, this makes sense because I can't complete that sentence. You know? The Senate map, I can come a whole lot closer to living with because I can at least tell them that if you are in these precincts, you are in the 5th. If you're in these precincts, you're in the 6th. I believe there are very few precinct splits with regard to the Senate map. So, Senator, I very much share your concerns, and I'll pile on because I don't see the senator from Boone here right at the moment, but another rural county that's one of your neighboring counties, right, Randolph County, because you represent Macon County, right?
Macon and Sheridan.
Well, so you got Macon County that bears a lot in resemblance to Randolph County, that doesn't bear much resemblance to Boone County.
Right.
And the reason that Randolph County is near and dear to my heart is that's the area where I was raised, and I still have a whole lot of family members that live there. And to say that I've heard some unhappy remarks about the House proposal with regard to Randolph County would be an understatement. It's difficult enough, as you know, for a rural county to really feel like that they're getting much attention when it comes to state government, let alone federal government. And to take a rural county like Randolph County and to take not apparently the county seat, but the largest town out of there and put that down with Boone County and leave all the rest of the agricultural portion in the sixth, that's an agricultural county.
It is an ag county. There isn't any question about it. And when I saw that, it was very difficult for me to see how that's going to happen. I have a close relationship with a lot of the folks in Randolph County, and because, you know, there's a lot of, well, they have a very strong pachyderm club there, and
yes,
folks from my county go to Moberly, and the folks in Randolph County had the same problem that the folks in my district are going to have when either one of these maps pass, is that they just couldn't get the attention of their senator. And
exactly,
so they had a tendency, because we have a lot of common friends, they would come to me. And although it wasn't my district, I was very willing to help them in a number of issues.
Sure.
They had some really sticky hospital issues and some stuff that I was able to help them with. I know that that's what's going to happen to these four counties.
And Senator, just to give you an example of how I would perceive this to be unfair to the people that I was raised with and still have family there, if you're in Randolph County, Missouri, and you're in South Sugar Creek, and you happen to be some of the 7,000 people in that particular precinct, well, then you're in the 4th district. But if you are in South Sugar Creek and you are 2 people, population 2, you are in the 6th. And I'm really confused about how that those 2 people made a difference between where the line was drawn. Or if you go up into Randolph County, Missouri, and you happen to be in the Mount Airy voting district, you've got 50 people that are in the 6th, but you go right next door to Salt Springs and you got 88 people that are in the other district. I don't know, once again, how I complete the sentence. This is fair to the people of Randolph County because it will make it easier to access government, because I can't fill in that sentence with regard to the House map. I can with the Senate map, because if you're in Randolph County, you are in, what, the 6th?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. And I don't think there's any question in my mind, and a lot of members in this Senate, that the Senate map makes a whole lot more sense than the House map. My problem is that I don't gain on either one of them. So I'm going to have a lot of opportunity over here over the next day or two to discuss that.
Well, because Senator, especially where you live in Saline County, I'm really confused, because in the portion of Clay County that the Senate map draws down, I can understand that. Some of the folks in my district may not love it, but I can understand it. But I'm really kind of confused about how that those really agricultural districts are going to fare with basically the very urban.
Yeah. Well, even the portion of Clay County that I represent,
yes,
is very rural. In
it's
fact,
rural.
When I first looked at my senatorial district, I go from Kearney to Macon.
Yes.
And when I first looked at that, I thought, man, it's got to be a lot of difference. But you'd be surprised of the family connections and the business connections between Kearney and Marshall, Kearney and Macon, Marshall and Excelsior, just, you know, from one end to the other. And it's really a homogeneous district. It is. I have Clay County, even though I just have a portion of it, is my third largest county.
Sure.
It's been very easy to represent that, because the interests in Macon are the same as those in eastern Clay County, mm-hmm. as in Saline, Lafayette, right. Ray County. And again, this is not about R's and D's because now I did carry Clay County in mm-hmm. my first election, but Saline, Lafayette, and Ray, I lost and lost mm-hmm. big. I mean, so it's not an R and D thing. It is it's a cultural commonality of a very rural agricultural district. The agriculture in Saline, Lafayette is very similar to the north side of the river, much so even than the fourth, which we're in now. But the culture and family connections and business connections across that district amazed me how homogeneous it was.
And Senator, I realize that Boone County is a great big county, but I don't get that. I mean, it was represented by Congressman, I don't know if we can say their last name or not, but
yeah, I think you can say
Congressman Lukemeyer. But and everything seemed to be going well, and now all of a sudden we have Congresswoman Hartzler that would represent all the way from suburbanite Kansas City that bears a whole lot more relationship to my county. She'd go all the way from Kansas City over to a university campus, and I just don't really get that. But the thing that I can see from the Kansas City area is I can see where that a large portion of my county has a lot in common with Eastern Jackson County. I really can see that. But when you get into Eastern Jackson County and you start, I asked a representative if just this past weekend, if she could easily explain to her constituents in Eastern Jackson County where the house map would put them in the sixth or the fourth or the fifth. And basically her answer was, no, I can't.
You know, so, I haven't even gotten to that, and I need at some point to time, probably not today, but at some point I need to inquire the senator from the 11th and find out where he is, because I'm not totally sure whether he's in the 5th or the 6th.
I don't know, because actually, as it turns out, because the river moved, I have a little bit of independence in Clay County, believe it or not.
I've always found it interesting to try to figure out where our districts. And not so much, you know, I know that I have the city limits of Kearney.
Except for the part that they annexed out into the western side.
Right. But it's been interesting to figure out where those boundaries are.
It has, and that's why, because you make a very good point. You and I have direct experience in how difficult it can be to explain to your constituents which Senate district that they live in. So maybe more than a lot of other folks here, you and I really know the tough issues of having Senate lines that split a precinct or don't follow a natural land boundary like Interstate 35 that runs through our district. I mean, that would be so easy for us to say, well, look.
If you're on this side of 35 or that side.
That's right. That would be so easy. But the house map for our district does not do that. The Senate map comes pretty close to doing that. My personal preference, unless there would be a good reason not to, it would be to follow 169 Highway on the west. That's my personal preference just because it's real easy to say if you're on the west side of 169, you're in the 6th. If you're on the east side, you're in the 5th. But I am very concerned from the counties that I have personal experience with, Clay, Jackson, and Randolph, that I really can't explain how those people are going to access the correct congressperson, and I'm very concerned about splitting up areas that already feel like they're a lot disconnected, from Washington, D.C., whenever you split them in half.
Well, and, you know, our concern here should be that everybody is represented and represented equally.
And that they have a fair chance of knowing exactly who they need to call.
Right. And The problem is that, in theory, this ought to be easy. When you put incumbents and personalities and what have you in the middle of it, then it becomes a whole lot more complicated. And we really ought to be thinking about how to represent people and not represent, I mean, this is one time that the politics ought to be put aside. But obviously, we're a political beast, and that doesn't happen.
Well, it is. It is obviously a political process, and I know the House worked hard, very diligently. I know the Senate worked hard, very diligently. I appeared at one of the meetings that they held in Kansas City and was a good listener. But at the time, we didn't know where any of these lines were exactly going to fall. Had I, you know, with 2020 hindsight, and now is our opportunity to do that, I can see that I believe my constituents would be better served by having the easiest to explain map. And I believe the Senate map is easier to explain so that people know more fairly, more readily how to access their appropriate person in Congress.
Well, you know, what I know is that I've got a lot of help today, I've got a lot of colleagues today. Probably tomorrow I don't have anybody, but I...
Well, you never can tell. You know, this is a strange place.
I still feel like that unless I, you know, I think it's my responsibility to represent the people that elected me, right, or even the people that didn't vote for me, but I still represent them. And I have 168 emails here that from my district, expressing their concern, and I'll be glad to read each one of those.
Senator, and I will tell you that although I don't any longer represent that portion of Clay County that extends up to Lawson, for many years, for 10 years in the House of Representatives, I did represent that Washington 1 precinct. And I can tell you, I got a lot of friends and neighbors that are over there because, you know, country neighbors, I'm on the other side of the county, but nonetheless, you know how country neighbors are. I can't really go back to them and say, it is fair for you to be in this particular district because, once again, can't complete the sentence.
Yeah. Well, so, I think the House map is totally unacceptable.
I would agree with you.
Especially, I mean, you know, that group of people, I've heard a lot from that group of in Northeast Clay County that they have whittled off, definitely, well, that is one thing that you and I are going to agree 100% on, that they belong in Clay County.
We are.
They belong in the 6th District much more than the 5th. It's easier for me to justify some of the southern part of Clay more. I mean, it's an urban area. But when you take that little bubble up there around Excelsior Springs and Lawson, it just, you know, that...
Senator, I could somewhat agree if it was only the city limits of Excelsior Springs that they pulled over into the 5th, because Excelsior Springs straddles Ray and Clay. But it doesn't appear, the House map does not appear to even follow the city limit boundaries.
No.
On there. I don't even know what that road is.
The House map, in my mind, simply went after people. They determined an original, determined an area, and then they just grabbed a few people here and a few people there, and whatever it took. And to pick, did you say there was one precinct in Randolph County where they picked one person or two people
two people? But it'll probably throw the map completely out of kilter if we move those two people.
Yeah,
I'm being facetious.
I will tell you that I understand totally the difficulty of the senator from the second committee, because I had heard there was a possibility that Johnson.
Three senators on the floor. For what purpose is the senator from second? Right.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please lay that bill over?
The bill will be laid over. Senator from the 23rd, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, would you ask the Secretary of the Senate if there are messages from the House?
And if there are.
Would you please have those read?
Read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 23, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator?
Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements? Senator?
No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. Many as are of the opinion shall prevail. Say aye.